Okay, before we talk about Victory Mountain this morning, let us bow our heads for prayer. Our Father in heaven, this morning we thank you for your wonderful love and mercy. Thank you for giving us thy word, that we can find strength and grace in the study of thy word to enable us to have the power we need to overcome the forces of darkness. And we want to thank you, Lord, for being so good to give us thy word. Bless us as we study this morning. May we learn the secret of victory in Jesus, because we ask it in his precious and wonderful name. Amen.
Amen.
Joshua 14, you may want to turn there with me. Joshua 14, verses 6 through 12 says, "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, You know the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and you in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, a servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I fully followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land where your feet have trodden shall be your inheritance, and your children's forever, because you have fully followed the Lord my God. And now, see, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, and yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spoke in that day." And brothers and sisters, this is where we are going to start this morning. "Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spoke in that day." Did you know so many Christians today are earning a living while they're wasting and losing their lives? They're drawing their breath and drawing their salary, but they are living defeated lives because they have unsurrendered wills, and they have never dreamed that God has not meant for them to live in the valley of depression, but that God has meant for them to live on the mountaintop of victory. We are to be living in the sunlit peaks of glory on the mountain that our God has given to us. Caleb was that kind of man. He was the first spiritual mountaineer man, I believe, that the Bible mentions. And I want us to learn some wonderful lessons this morning from the life of Caleb. I remind you that the book of Joshua is more than just history. It's more than just the history of the Israelites. It is an illustration of victory that a Christian is to have. The Bible says that all these things that happened to them, they happened as examples to us, and they're written for our instruction. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. Now, what does the land of Canaan that they were conquering represent? Well, it represents the land of victory and the land of rest for the Christian. You see, the promised land represents the victorious Christian life. Now, let me illustrate this. It meant release for them. Up until this time, they had been a nation of slaves. He says, jump, and the slave jumps, the devil. He says, jump, and the slave jumps. But they had been a nation of slaves. My friends, aren't you tired of being a slave to the enemy? When he says, jump, do you jump? Do you say, how high? Don't you want to be set free from the power of the enemy? Don't you want it to be said, sin shall no longer have dominion over you? Romans 6:14. Not only did this mean release, It meant rest. Up until this time, they had been wandering round and round in the wilderness. And now they enter into the land that the Bible says was a land of rest. Oh, my friends, I see so many Christians who have everything but rest. They're so nervous and frustrated, they don't know what to do. They remind me of a deep-sea diver who got the message on his headphone saying, "Come up quickly, the ship is sinking." They don't know what to do. They're just frustrated. Brothers and sisters, we are supposed to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, and frustration is not a word in the Christian's vocabulary. But not only did this land mean release and rest, it also meant refreshment. Up until this time, they've been on a wilderness diet, manna. But now they enter into the land of Canaan with milk and honey and figs and grapes and pomegranates and corn. All refreshment. And not only did it mean release and rest and refreshment, it meant reality. You see, up until this time, they just heard sermons about the land of Canaan, and that was all. And now they saw it for themselves. Friends, do you know what the desire of my heart is this morning? Do you know what I want from Midtown Church this morning? I want you to experience spiritual victory in your life. It would be wonderful this morning for me if this would become more than a sermon and become a reality for each of you this morning. And that you would enter into your spiritual Canaan, the victorious Christian life that God has for you. Now, let's take a look at who Joshua represents. Joshua, who led the Israelites in that day, is an illustration and a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Old Testament name for Jesus, Joshua. And Joshua is a representative of Christ who leads us into the land of victory. And Caleb, who does Caleb represent? Well, how about letting Caleb represent you? Would you like Caleb to represent you this morning? Caleb is representing the Christian about to enter into his Canaan. Caleb about to possess his possessions and about to receive the promises that God had given to him. Now, the first thing I would like for us to look at this morning is to notice Caleb's character. I want you to look in Joshua 14, and I want you to notice these verses. Joshua 14. First, let's look at the last part of verse 8. Here Caleb is speaking, and he says, "But I wholly followed the Lord my God." Now, the last part of verse 9. "Because you have wholly followed the Lord your God." Next, I want you to notice the last part of verse 14. "Because he had wholly followed the Lord God of Israel." I want you to notice now, it was said here three times. Now, Caleb was an unusual man. Caleb was a man that gave God all that there was of himself. Every inch, every ounce, every nerve, and every fiber, all there was of Caleb, he had given to the Lord. He held back nothing. He had fully followed the Lord his God. Oh, you say, "Well, God does not expect that of me because I'm just a layman." My friends, that's where you are 100% wrong. God deserves everything we have. And if we haven't given God everything, we are a disgrace to the name of Christian. I mean, everything is to belong to the Lord God. My friends, half-hearted religion will not do it. The half-hearted will be the faint-hearted. And they will never conquer their Canaan. The Apostle Paul said, "This one thing I do." What was that one thing? He gave it all to the Lord Jesus Christ. This one thing I do, he said, surrender to the Lord. And that is what made him a great man. Dwight L. Moody, a great evangelist, had a deep experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. Moody, first of all, started out as a shoe clerk. And then he became a Sunday school teacher. Next, he became a mighty evangelist. He went to England one time and came back, but he didn't have much power in his life. He didn't have much power until he went back to England the second time. And when he was in England the second time, he heard an evangelist preaching in an outdoor meeting. The evangelist's name was Henry Farley. And here's what Henry Farley had to say. He said, "The world has yet to see what God can do in and through and with and for a man wholly committed to Him." Let me say that again. The world has yet to see what God can do in and through and with and for a person wholly committed to God. When Moody heard that, he thought, "By the grace of God, I will be that man. I want to be wholly and completely dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ." And God took this relative, unlettered, uncultured, untrained shoe clerk and used him to shape two continents for God because he was wholly and completely dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, is that your ambition this morning? Is it your ambition to be dedicated fully and totally to Jesus so He can use you to further this kingdom? There is someone out there just waiting for you to witness to them. Is it really your ambition to follow the Lord and to surrender to Him all the way? Brothers and sisters, is it your ambition this morning to be on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Great, wonderful. Is it really? God is not impressed when you come and just tip your hat to Him. He wants all you have. I'm telling you that our Almighty God will be satisfied with nothing less than a total commitment to Him. Have you made that commitment in your life this morning? That's what we want to see. That's what Jesus is waiting for. If you have not, why not? Jesus Christ did not come to this world and bathe this world in His blood to have you serve the world, the flesh, or the devil. You belong to Jesus Christ. You're not your own. You are bought with a price. Oh, my friends, what we could do with a congregation of Calebs who will give themselves wholly, totally, and completely to our Almighty God. Are you willing to do that this morning? This is Caleb's character. Don't you want the character of Caleb?
Amen.
Now, the second thing I want you to notice is Caleb's confidence, because Caleb's character led to Caleb's confidence. Caleb was a man who had confidence in the Word of God. Now, I want you to please notice the phrase, "The Lord said." I want you to notice how it runs through this passage of Scripture. Look in chapter 14 and the last part of verse 6. "You know the thing that the Lord said." Now Caleb is speaking, and he said, "Do you remember what God said?" Look in verse 10. "And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive as He said." Then look further in verse 10. "The Lord spoke this word unto Moses." Notice again, "The Lord spoke." And notice again, if you will, in verse 12, "Therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spoke." And again, "The Lord spoke." Now the last part of verse 12, "As the Lord said." Friends, do you see it? Over and over and over again, God said, the Lord spoke, God promised. Do you know where Caleb's confidence was? Caleb's confidence was in the Word of God. Caleb's sword was the Word of God. Caleb had a mountain he needed to conquer. God had given him that mountain 40 years earlier. And I want you to notice that he went up that mountain with a sword in his hand. He also went up that mountain with a title deed in his pocket. Because God had already given it to him. The Lord had promised it to him. And his confidence came out of the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, please listen to me. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. The Bible tells us, the Lord has said, so that we may believe it. You better take God's Word and soak your mind in it. Saturate yourself with it. Plant God's Word in your heart so you can say, God has said. My friends, do you know what God has said in this book, in His Word, in His book? Do you understand the great, eternal, unchanging promises of that book? Do you know them? Do you have them planted in your mind and in your heart? Do you know what made Caleb such a great man? Caleb believed the Word of God. You want me to tell you just why Caleb believed the Word of God? He believed the Word of God because his heart was pure. His heart was pure. And a pure heart is a fertile soil upon which the seed of God's Word can find root. The reason the Word of God doesn't mean much to some people, and the reason some can sit in a congregation like this when the Word of God is preached and have it just roll off them, is because they're just sitting in a pew thinking about what they're going to do when Sabbath is over, or planning the next week's activities, or perhaps wondering what they're going to have for dinner today, or who is going to win the professional football game or the races this afternoon. And their mind is 1,000 miles away, and they're not hungry for a God. They don't really want Him. But here was Caleb, a man whose heart was 100% dedicated to God. He wholly followed the Lord as God, and therefore the Word of God could find lodging in his heart, and Caleb had a faith in God that some of us need today. Caleb's character led to Caleb's confidence in God's promises. Now, the next thing I want you to notice is Caleb's courage, because Caleb's confidence in God's promises led to Caleb's courage. You see, you will never be bold or have courage to do valiantly until you have a pure heart and until you have hidden the Word of God in your heart. And when that happens, you will have the courage that God wants you to have. You see, before Caleb could take that mountain that God had promised him, and it was a glorious mountain, Caleb had some opposition that he had to overcome. Hebron was a beautiful place. It was a place where the spies came carrying out a bunch of grapes that took two men to carry on a pole placed between them. It was a land flowing with milk and honey, corn and wine, grapes, figs, and pomegranates. It was truly a land of plenty. It was a rich and a goodly land. However, there were some adversaries living there. There were some enemies living there. Now, I want you to know, my friends, that nothing great is ever done in a rocking chair. If you're looking for a cheap way, an easy way, a lazy way to be victorious, forget it. Caleb had some opposition he had to overcome. But I want you to know that the door to the room of opportunity swings on the hinges of opposition. And God had planned it that way for our benefit. Friends, there is a great door of opportunity open to us. But there are many adversaries in our way. Now, let me mention some of the adversaries that Caleb had to overcome through his courage. In the first place, he had to overcome grasshoppers. Look in chapter 14, verses 7 and 8. Here Caleb remembers back 45 years earlier when he first went in to spy out the land. And he says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again that was in my heart. That is, I brought back a good report. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Now, just how did they make the heart of the people melt? Well, I want to tell you just how they did it. And it's found in Numbers 13:33. Now, here's what the other 10 spies said when they came back. We saw the giants, the sons of Anak, who come of the giants. And we were in our very own sight as grasshoppers. And so were we in their sight. You see, my friends, Caleb's comrades had a grasshopper complex. And you know what's wrong with so many people today? They also have a grasshopper complex. Do you know that when some of us who hear what I'm preaching and have no intention of putting into practice, they're like grasshoppers, thinking that there are too many giants in the land. Nobody can ever live like Caleb today. Friends, before a church can do anything great, it must overcome the grasshoppers. There are plenty of grasshoppers. They are the people who sit around and say, it cannot be done. It shouldn't be done. Why? We can't do it. These people are content to retreat back into the desert, into the comparative safety of a desert wastes, because there are no giants out there in the desert. That's where most people are living. They're failing to possess their possessions because they have a grasshopper complex. Thank God Caleb did not follow the majority. Now, I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, something this morning. The majority are generally wrong. Just find out what most people are doing, and you do something else, and you will probably be right. Now, not only did Caleb need courage to overcome grasshoppers, but the next thing he needed was courage to overcome giants. Look at Joshua 14:12. There he says, "Now therefore give me that mountain whereof the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord had said." Now, the Anakim were there, and the cities were great and fenced. Well, just who were the Anakim? Well, the Anakim were giants. They were giants there in those days. I mean great, huge giants. And Caleb said, I know the giants are there. If so be that the Lord is with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord has said. Not only did Caleb have to face the grasshoppers, but he also had to face the giants. But Caleb was not bothered by those giants. Matter of fact, Caleb was sort of excited that those giants were there. You know what Caleb said when he came back from talking about the giants the first time he went to spy out the land? You can read about that in Numbers 14, verses 7 through 9. When he came back, he said to Moses and the people, "If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." Did you hear that? They are bread for us. What do you do with bread? You eat it. What Caleb is saying is, pass the peanut butter and jelly. Look, they're bread. We're going to eat them. We're going to eat them alive. They're bread for us. Their defenses have departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Caleb said, these giants will not be the means of our defeat. They will be the means of our growth. We are going to feed upon them. Caleb sat down at the table and said, pass the Anakim, please. Now, please think about this. A mother has to tell her little child, eat your broccoli. I don't want my broccoli. Eat your broccoli. It's good for you. I don't want it. It makes you grow. Don't like it. Do you know what God has to say to us? Now, dear children, eat your Anakim. Eat your giants. I want to tell you, my friends, Anakim is a breakfast of champions. Did you know that? Look, you've been trying to get out of difficulty. You've been saying, I don't want to face any problems. I don't want any difficulty. Friends, the difficulties that God allows to come your way are the very things that God will use to make you strong. They're bread. Sit down and gobble them up. Listen, my friends, the Bible says that no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that is raised against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Isaiah 54:17. Oh, my friends, if we could only understand that these things we think are difficulties are not really difficulties, but they are opportunities. Do you know the difference between a pessimist and an optimist? A pessimist sees difficulty in every opportunity. And an optimist sees opportunity in every difficulty. What are you this morning? Are you an optimist or a pessimist? I hope you're an optimist. There's a possibility in every difficulty. And the Lord has given them to us so we can grow. I heard about a man who went to Africa as a shoe salesman. He stayed over there a while and sent back to his company saying, get me out of here. They said, why? He said, the people over here don't wear shoes. So they brought him home and sent another to take his place. He stayed there a few weeks and wrote back saying, send me all the shoes you can get. I have never seen so many prospects. It's all in what you see. My friends, aren't you glad that Caleb could see things from God's viewpoint? Shouldn't you and I do the same and start looking at things from God's viewpoint too? We need to get over the grasshopper complex. Do you know just why some people have a grasshopper complex? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because they look at a giant from their own viewpoint. Friends, we need to look at giants from God's viewpoint. We need to stop saying, look at how much bigger they are than me, and say, look at how much smaller they are than God is. I'd like to tell you something this morning, and it is this. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. And there's not a giant of doubt, or a giant of distress, or a giant of fear, or a giant of sin that should not fall before a Christian filled with the Holy Spirit. Face those giants in God's strength. When we have our Almighty God versus the giants in our lives, He defeats them one by one. Friends, we are to be living victoriously. We are to have the Word of God in our hearts. And we are to believe and trust in God for victory. I'm very, very distressed at God's people being defeated. I don't like to see one, not one of God's people defeated. We are to have the Word of God in our hearts. And we are to believe and trust in God for victory. The church of the living God is to move out like a mighty army. Each of you are a part of that army, a vital part of that army. We are to say, I want that victory mountain. It belongs to me. God has given it to me. And I did not come to be defeated. I came to be victorious. I didn't join the Seventh-day Adventist Church to be defeated. I joined this church to be victorious and to claim my Canaan. Friends, Caleb had a character that believed in fully following the Lord. And because he had this character, he had confidence. He believed the Lord, for the Lord had given him a promise. And because he had confidence in God, he had courage. Courage not only to overcome grasshoppers and courage to overcome giants, but courage to overcome gray hairs. Please notice here in chapter 14:10. Lo, I am 85 years old today, and yet I am as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. That is, I am as strong now as I was when I was 40 years old. God supernaturally preserved him. Remember, he said, the Lord kept me as he said he would. Evidently, God said to Caleb, Caleb, it may be a long time, son, but when you get there, you'll be able to do it. Do you know what that tells me? It tells me that when God makes a promise to you, he gives you strength to claim it. The God who preserved the possession for Caleb was a God who preserved Caleb for the possession. You see, God works on both ends. God says, here's something that is for you, it's yours. And then God gives you the strength and the ability to claim it. Friends, where God guides, God provides. And if God is to make you a teenager at age 85, he will do it. Whatever it takes, God will give you. And Caleb had courage over grasshoppers, giants, and gray hairs. He was moving in to take a possession that God had given to him. Now let's finally notice Caleb's conquest. Caleb's character led to Caleb's confidence, and Caleb's confidence led to Caleb's courage, and Caleb's courage led to Caleb's conquest. You see, victory is God's plan. It's God's plan for you this morning. Do you know what the name Hebrew means? It means fellowship. That's what it means. And Caleb was saying, I want that mountain of fellowship. Fellowship with God. And you know, he took the whole mountain. Do you know what that stands for? Fullness. All that God had for him. And do you know that Hebron was noted for fruitfulness? Caleb was saying, I want to live on the mountain of fellowship, fullness and fruitfulness. Isn't that what you want, my friends? Wouldn't you just love to live on the victory mountaintop of fellowship with God? That's what I want. Wouldn't you like for your life to be a vineyard full of fruitfulness? And wouldn't you just love the fullness of God's presence in your life? Wouldn't you like to completely possess your possession so that the fruit of the Spirit might be filling your life? Do you know what the three biggest giants you're going to have to drive out are? Look in chapter 15, verse 14. There it says, and Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak. Now here are three giants. And in the Old Testament, names had a meaning. Do you know what the names of these three sons mean? The first one means, who I am. Here was a giant who says, do you want to know who I am? My name is who I am. Okay, the next one says, the next one means, what I am. And the third one meant, what I can do. Who I am, what I am, and what I can do. Friends, those are the three biggest giants you're going to have to drive out of your personal life. The giant of ego, who I am. The giant of pride, what I am. The giant of self-reliance, what I can do. Those are the giants that must be displaced. And when you come to the place where you say, Lord, I can't do it. I can't do it. But God, you can. You can do it. And Lord, you promised to do it. When you come to that place, victory is assured. I want to tell you, my friends, there is a land of victory, and you can have it this morning. Will you claim your possession today? God is waiting for you. You're not waiting for God. Remember that. God is waiting for you. Don't delay. Delay can cost you eternity. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for the illustration of Caleb and the power and the strength that you gave this dear brother of old times. Thank you, dear Lord, for the witness of men like Joshua and Caleb. Lord, we're thankful that we can have that power today that Caleb had. And we ask you, Lord, to give us the strength to even accept it. Give us the power, dear Lord, right now to determine that we want that victory mountain of fullness, fruitfulness, and fellowship. Dear Lord, please don't let one person here today leave without surrendering their heart to you. I want to pray that you will give, if there's one here today that is not willing to surrender, that you will give them no peace, no rest, until they fall at the foot of the cross in deep repentance and surrender. Lord, help us to ask you for the courage and the strength and the power to expel those three giants from our lives. Lord, help us, please, as we leave here today, to leave here new men and women in Jesus Christ, because we are now standing on Victory Mountain. In Jesus' name, amen.